Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. We hope today's worship service and message bring you inspiration and comfort. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our scripture reading this morning is a traditional Pentecost reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. If you'd like to follow along in a pew Bible, it's on page 885. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, pour out your spirit in this place this day, just as you did all those millennia ago. Give to us a fiery desire to serve you, to know you, to love you, and to be the church that you would want us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. wonder what joy this day must bring to Christ each year, Pentecost Sunday, to know that his followers worldwide are still united in the celebration of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but even more so that we remain committed to speaking the one universal language, God's love, to one another and to the world. Now, many folks I know refer to Pentecost as the birthday of the church, the day when Christianity officially began. However, to focus on this event as a mere birth moment can diminish the significance of the Holy Spirit's coming and possibly leave us with a false impression about Jesus' mission on earth. You see, to refer to the Pentecost as the birthday of the church implies that it was always part of Jesus' plan to initiate the religious institution we now call Christianity. Yet there's little, if any, indication that it was Jesus' intention to usher in a new major world religion. In fact, based what we read in the Gospels, we can infer that Jesus remained a faithful Jew right up until the time of his death. He did, however, challenge the existing religious hierarchy and their understanding of what it meant to be God's chosen people. Basically, he refused their fanatical investment in the letter of the law as a measurement of our righteousness, proclaiming instead the truth of God's unconditional love and wide welcome to all who would hear and believe. So no, Jesus didn't necessarily want to create a new religion. He did, however, preach a new, gracious, and merciful way of being religious. And as a result, the Jews who believed in him and continued to advance his message were eventually forced out of the synagogues. And so then, gathering in homes, this movement, eventually it evolved into something different than what had ever existed before. And it became a Christ follower's church born out of necessity. Still, Pentecost was the watershed moment when the reality of this inevitable future was set into motion, when the rulers and the leaders were forced to acknowledge that even having Jesus put to death on a cross would not silence his message of God's love and God's unconditional and inclusive love, nor the difference that it makes in people's lives. So this remarkable, unfathomable pouring out of the Holy Spirit proved that Jesus' mission was not finished and that nothing, including the religious institution, could or would derail it, whether Jesus himself was physically present or not. So clearly, something different, radically different and powerful, was happening during this Jewish festival called Feast of the Weeks, or Feast of Weeks. And the fact that during this, the disciples were suddenly speaking in various languages and all the disparate people groups could hear them in their own language, that was just the beginning, folks. The winds of change were definitely blowing, and the fires of transformation were burning. The truth is, the Holy Spirit is all about transformation. Like a wind, it is an unharnessed spirit that takes us to places we don't even know we want to go. And like a fire, it can create chaos, but also creates a burning desire deep within our souls to know God and to live in his peace. So it's the Spirit that guides us, empowers us, and sustains us to become the beloved community of faith that we are created to be. And God's Holy Spirit makes that which seems impossible, possible. It helps us change unkind behaviors and forgive unforgivable wrongs and accept differences, as well as to listen to and to learn from one another. The Spirit shapes us into new and different people, into Christ's image, freed and focused on sharing God's love, receiving God's love, and sharing God's love with the world. Now, this reforming of self is neither easy nor instant. Still, most would agree that ultimately, any change that the Holy Spirit brings within us personally is worth the discomfort we experience to be transformed. Amen? Y'all know it's okay to agree out loud today. It's Pentecost and all kinds of crazy things are allowed. So I'm going to ask it again this way. To be personally transformed by the Holy Spirit for the sake of living the kingdom life is worth the transformation process, even if it's difficult. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. Now here's something else to ponder. What if even now the Holy Spirit is also transforming the church? More specifically, our religious institutions and structures. Are we as quick to agree that the transformation is worth the process? Would we give an amen to that possibility? Or is the church prone to respond similar to those first century leaders, fearing the loss of power, kicking out those who question or disagree with us, or even crucifying anyone seeking radical change? To me, this is the most significant challenge of this Pentecost story. As Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit was sent to the disciples so that they could continue to break down the hierarchies and barriers that divided people and prevented them from receiving Christ's message of hope. They were carrying on Jesus' mission. In the case of the Pentecost, the barrier was language. So the Spirit tore down that language wall, which then allowed everyone to hear about God's deeds of power in their own language, in a way that was meaningful to them, in a way that allowed them to receive God's love unhindered. And here we are, 2 millennia later, and the Holy Spirit is still tearing down barricades such as age and gender and race and culture and power and political views, just to name a few, in order to unleash the good news of God's grace, mercy, and love. Friends, Pentecost not only teaches us that no one is beyond the reach of God's Holy Spirit, it confirms the need for the church to communicate in ways that can be heard and received. It also reminds us that we are united by the presence of the Spirit that is in each of us. Although, let's just be clear. United does not mean uniform. Just look around. Christ's believers are different in many, many ways. Not only do we have different native languages, we also have different worship languages, different theological languages, and different political languages. We have different needs and giftedness and ways of communicating. We have different ways of experiencing God's love. In other words, we have different love languages. We each receive and experience and come to trust in God's love in our own unique ways. Love languages are not universal, although God's love is the universal language. And so in all our differences, we are united by our belief that God's love revealed in Jesus is the answer for the world today and always. And as uniquely diverse as we may be, we are the same in our need for God and for each other. We are alike in our dependency on the Holy Spirit. And it is in our unity as one people who speak the language of God's love that the Spirit blesses us and enables us to accomplish beyond our imaginations. Now, as Christ's church, we are called to lean on the Spirit of wisdom and truth, rather than on that which we think we know and understand. And to fully discern the difference when it's the Spirit speaking and when we're just hearing our own desires in our head, as a congregation, it's imperative that we hear all the voices in the church, not just the ones that speak our own language. For only when all the voices are allowed to speak and all the unique languages can be heard will the church truly and fully reveal God's wisdom and truth to the world. In other words, folks, the church is at its fiery, creative, Spirit-led best when it welcomes and engages with diverse voices. Young voices, such as those of the ones we baptized today, alongside those with decades of life experience. Voices that have emerged from success and wealth alongside those that are grossly underserved. Voices that were and have been foundational to our faith understanding, as well as the ones that are just emerging. Naive voices, amateur voices. Those of the evangelically conservative, the progressive liberal, and the majority middle. Quiet voices, which are broken, abused, oppressed, or silenced by fear, as well as bold voices dedicated to justice and wholeness. Voices that worship inside centuries-old buildings on Sunday mornings, as well as those which find their faith community in coffee shops on Friday evenings. Envision it, if you dare. Envision it. Imagine how much more robustly and extensively God's love would permeate this world if the church learns to communicate across all these different voices and love language. How much more vibrant and life-giving would this congregation be if we come and if we strive to learn the diverse love languages of our community? Come, Holy Spirit, come, but be ready, because it's going to get messy. The Holy Spirit is a creative one, and every creative process, ask any artist you know, every creative process includes a little chaos along the way. So learning how to speak love into languages that others are able to hear, and that can be a very strange and chaotic time, and it can come far outside our ability and our sensibility without the Holy Spirit's help. But when we follow the Holy Spirit's leading, it's possible that we might just be called and equipped to live out the gospel in a way that seems crazy to the rest of the world. Now, the people of Mapleton Fall Creek might not actually accuse us of being drunk, but it's quite possible they would say things like, "Can you believe what those Presbyterians are doing now?" That's a compliment, by the way. But don't you think they've already said that about a church that built a football stadium, but not just any football stadium, but a football stadium with a pro-level football turf and an entire bleacher system? Or a church that creates and puts a play space out and leaves it wide open, no locks, no gates, for the community to come and go as they please, just so children and youth can receive God's love in the language they speak. Well, that's craziness. What about a church that sees the need to start a health center that speaks the language of compassionate healing in Christ's name? Or a legal clinic that speaks justice in Christ's name? Or what about a racially integrated school that speaks the language of respect and dignity and worth in Christ's name? Or a church that feeds 100 people a day, 3 times a week, no questions asked, simply so those who best receive love is through the language of presence and community will know that they are loved by God. They might actually call us crazy drunk Presbyterians. So what's next? What's the next radical thing that the Spirit is going to call us to do? I don't know, but I think it'll be fun. As TAB continues to discern God's 21st century post-pandemic mission for us in an ever-changing world, the reality is we could be called to do some new and different things. Because it is a new and different world out there. Things that go against the same old, things that might look messy to the outside world, things that might even rock our own sensibility. Are we ready for that? Are we? Are we ready to surrender to God's Spirit and expand ourselves and our vision among beyond our own way of doing things? Are we ready to give up our own ideas about what did and did not work in the past and instead think about the future? Are we willing to set aside our own way of thinking about how decent and orderly things should be in a Presbyterian church? Are we ready to truly devote ourselves as a congregation to prayer and discernment, which requires all voices, and to silence, so we can hear God's Spirit as it speaks to us? And are we willing to do it side by side those with a myriad different love languages, trusting that God's Spirit will bring us to unity? Folks, there's one thing that you cannot deny that Scripture teaches, and that is God is relentless about welcoming all people into God's unconditional love. The Spirit is always breaking barriers in surprising and powerful ways in order for Christ to transform the world with God's peace, hope, and love. And the way we, the church, participate in this mission partnership is when we, like those first disciples, surrender to the Spirit at work in and through us. when we lean into the uncertainty, utterly confident in the one who is guiding us there. We will be called to listen to voices that we've never considered before, and to speak the gospel in ways that may not actually be about the words we use, but is instead experienced in the welcome we offer. And yes, at some point, we may need to become so bold and edgy in our efforts to share God's love that we do seem a bit crazy drunk to those around us. However, as scary and unpredictable as violent winds and tongues of fire may be, God promises it will be worth it. So very much worth it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. If you can't join us in person, many of our beautiful worship services are live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the service times and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening. And join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.